Well, I'm very pleased to welcome Jimmy Jerkins back to Racetrackers. Good evening, Jimmy.
Good evening, Bill.
Well, congratulations in order again. You're having a wonderful year, and this time you even went outside the country. You went up to Canada to win a big stakes race.
Yeah, Philly was a little slow to come around during the winter, but once she, towards the end of our stay in Florida, and when she came back up to New York, she really picked her head up, and we got her in the entries, and she ran a good second to another filly of mine, sprinting, and I knew she was going to be really effective on the stretch out. But she's really improved in leaps and bounds, no question about it.
Well, I mean, you managed to win the 158 Queen's Plate with the daughter of Ghost Zapper and only her fourth start, so that's quite a training job to get her to go that long in that short a period.
Well, most of the credit has to go to her, though. I mean, it wasn't, because it's not wasn't long in between. It wasn't anything to, if she wasn't natural at it, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of time to really work at it, as what like you usually do when you preparing horses for a stretch out. But she just, she has so much natural ability and just has such quality, and she was able to. She was able to do it. You don't see that too often. Quality Road was probably the only horse I ever had before that really came improved so dramatically in between one start to a second. And she's right there along with him as far in that regard.
Wow. Well, I mean, also we keep speaking she, for our listeners who don't know, she's a filly beating the boys. That's difficult and unusual in its own right.
Yeah, but they, she won our favorite, so I guess, on the strength of her, she won. She ran a whole second, a second and a half faster than the plate trial on the same day she won the Oaks. So I guess that, and just about the same horses ran back. So I guess they figured, put two and two together. If she bounces out of that first race the right way, she deserved to be favorite, and they were right.
Right. Well, it's interesting. She her sire, Ghost Zapper, won the race a few years back, and the Queen's Plate, for our listeners who don't know, is kind of the equivalent of the Canadian Kentucky Derby. What's interesting to me is it's the 158th Queen's Plate, yet Canada's only been an actual country for 150 years, so the race is older than the country.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable.
I'm sure Frank Stronach, who's your client, who owns Woodbine, must have been thrilled. I mean, it's just a tremendous win for him.
Yes, it was. He was very happy, no question.
And I guess that begs the question: what's next? Do you pursue the rest of the Canadian Triple Crown, or do you run for the Alabama or back in New York?
Well, she's already back. She got back to my barn at Belmont yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, and then had a little light training this morning, and. It's the thing that came to my mind was the Alabama. It's very prestigious and even gets more and more so as time goes by. So it would be a logical place to run her back, I would think, the mile and a quarter. And, who knows if she's as good on that as she is on the synthetic surfaces. I don't know. I don't have much experience with the synthetic surfaces, but she certainly seemed to glide over it, and I'm sure the tracks will be a little deeper, probably not as bouncy as the track up at Woodbine was, but she's resilient, and I think she'll run over just about anything, so it doesn't really concern me.
Right. Well, I mean, certainly the Alabama, as you say, has become more and more prestigious over the years, and it's mm-hmm. certainly becomes that weekend now is almost as big as the Travers weekend up at Saratoga. So a lot of excitement there.
Yeah.
More immediate matters: Shaman Ghost, who won the Queen's Plate. Oh, before I said Ghost Zapper, the sire won it. I meant your other horse, Shaman Ghost, won the Queen's Plate. Also, that was my error.
We knew what you meant.
Yeah, that's right. But Shaman Ghost runs back in the Suburban, and he loves a mile and a quarter, and I thought you got some favorable weights in that race as a handicap.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been very consistent. It's hard to knock him. He doesn't blow anybody's doors away. He wins. He's very workmanlike, and he's tenacious, and that's what I love about him. He's like a he's like a blue, he's like a blue collar worker. You know, he has quality and good talent for what he's done. But he's a character. He's even in Pimlico the other day, last month, my other horse kind of sprinted away, turning for home, and opened up on him, and it looked like he was gonna last, but he just, you know, inside the 16th pole, he just got into another gear and ran him down. So he's relentless, you know. I just hope he can keep it up. There's only one speed horse in the race. I wish there was something to run with the other horse and keep him busy up there, but there's nothing you can do about that.
Right. Well, that always is a concern. And I guess last time we spoke to Javier Castellano after that race, and he explained that he had him and Ghost broke well, but had a little bit of trouble, I guess maybe a 16th of a mile into the race and got shuffled back a little bit. I guess Belmont's going to be a little more forgiving with those big wide turns, right?
Yeah. Plus he's breaking on the outside. He's not going to really, he won't have to do much maneuvering with him, which is good. You know, you still hate to lose any kind of ground, even, you know, mile and a quarter is far enough. You don't really want to lose any ground if you can help it. And you don't really like a speed horse breaking on the inside, getting, you know, ducking into that turn. You know, they gain an extra length or two when they do that. But,
right.
You know, he'll turn down the backside, and Javier will know. He'll be able to judge the pace if he has to. You know, he can't change a horse's style too much. You know, you can't use him up too much to stay within comfortable range and think he's going to have the same finish. You know, it's a fine line to how much you can ask a horse who's not a, you know, doesn't have real early lick. When you make them show it, they're not going to finish this at the same. So,
right.
But he has been showing a little more speed out of the gate than he did earlier in his career. And I like that. That's a good sign.
Well, excellent. And what you're referring to in the mile and a quarter is Belmont's an odd, it's a mile and a half track circumference,
yeah.
But they run a mile and a quarter. And I guess since the Ruffian Foolish Pleasure match race, which I think today may actually be the anniversary of it, they no longer run a mile and a quarter out of the chute. They run it on the turn. And it's a little bit of an odd, for our listeners who will be watching, it's a little bit of an odd placement of the gate. And the inside does really get a pretty good jump on the outside.
Yeah, they do. But it is what it is. Just got to, you know, just hope he's good enough to overcome. You know, he seems to find a way. So I hope he can do it again.
Right. Well, and earlier in the day, you have Unified coming back for Centennial Farms.
Yeah.
Unified is a really nice horse, and I guess he beat Mind Your Biscuits by running on the front. Then he missed by a nose when Green Gatto got away. Do you have any thoughts on whether you'll be on the front or stalking in on Saturday's race?
Well, we'll probably, you know, not going to. If he breaks good and clean, we're probably going to go on with him, you know, to a degree. You know, hopefully he'll have to, you know, he's going to have to run hard to get out and cross over in front of Green Grotto, or who knows, maybe he'll try outgun him a little bit and stay to the outside. I don't know. I mean, Jose's got a little bit of a knack. He's got a knack for, so he's become such a premier rider now. He has a knack for getting horses comfortable and to where even if they look like they're going fast the first part of it, he seems to run underneath them a little easier than a lot of other riders. It's only the gifted ones to have. It's hard to explain, but he seems to be able to get the most out of his horses, and he's just a natural, and he always loved this horse, so he seems to fit him good.
Excellent. Well, I mean, among Jose Ortiz's strengths is he's become a tremendous gate rider. He breaks as sharp as anybody right now, and it's he's always was a good rider, but he seems to have gotten that down pat. Well, that's an exciting day, and if that wasn't enough, you go out to the Midwest, you go out to Iowa for the Cornhusker Handicap with Dolphus, who you spoke about before, who was second to Shaman Ghost, and I guess is most famous for being a half to Rachel Alexandra.
Yeah, he's been a nice surprise. Well, a little bit of a surprise. I mean, he always was a nice horse. But I got him in Florida. He had run poorly in one of those one turn mile races, I believe. But he broke very big. He had won the time before. He won two other then before that on the lead. So I guess the idea was to, well, do it again. But he broke bad. He got rushed against a much better field than he ran against the time before that. And by the time he got to the quarter pole, he was just done. So then I got him, and I was kind of figuring what I was going to do with him, you know, which direction to go with him. And I said, maybe I'll start training him, giving him some kind of easy mile works, and see how he takes to it. And he seemed to really, really enjoy it, and seemed like he started getting bigger and stronger. And so I kept it up, and then shipped him up here to run in the Stymie from Florida, because there wasn't anywhere to run down there. And I thought he ran terrific. Rajiv misjudged the finish line, and he got nailed for third. And last jump by a nice horse of Todd's called Send It In. I was a little peeved about that, but you know, it was hard. The horse was so far out, way out past the middle of the track, he didn't see him, and he thought he had third secured, and he kind of eased up on him.
Okay.
And, yeah, but that happens, you know. He did run big, and then ran him back in the three other than going to. We shortened him back up around one turn, but it looked like a logical place to run. It was there, three other than going a mile, and he ran very well to win that. And then he worked another nice mile, and then I thought the Pimlico Special was a nice spot to long run into the first turn, and he most likely would be the control and speed, and he was. He gave Shaman all he could handle that day. So we're just hoping for a race similar like that, and hope it's good enough. You know, it's a tough race, though. There's a lot of hard knockers in there. It's not everyone thinks that it's the Prairie Meadows, but there's some hard knockers in there. I was surprised.
Yeah, well, I guess you put the money up, the horses show up, right? Have you run a horse in Iowa before?
No, never. First time.
Yeah, I wonder whether Rajiv has ever ridden out there, too. It's a whole different world, but a lot of fun. I think that's at night, right? So we can watch that
yes.
at night after the turn.
Well, the first race post time is 4, and I think his race is 7, quarter to 8, I believe. I don't know if it's nice. I don't know if it's dark. I guess it's probably just getting dark, or it's dark. But, yeah, it's basically night racing.
Well, that's going to be quite a two-hour window for you there, running in stakes races all over the country. That's great. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be nerve-wracking, but it's exciting, but I still can't wait till it's over.
Yeah, well, I know. You do all you can do, right? And then you just hope for the best. That's the whole thing, right? Get ready and then wait and nervously wait. You're having a tremendous run, and we're all rooting for you. And it's more than a run. I mean, you just have everything going on all cylinders now, and you have great owners in Centennial and in Frank Stronach and Stone Street. You can't do any better than that lineup of owners and the others that you have. I just on a light note, I had a chance. Jose Martin saw that you're going to be on the show tonight. Carlos Martin saw you on the show tonight, and he was excited about a story he had with his grandfather Frank Martin, who bought a horse off your father when you were a young kid, and he was relaying the story to me.
Yeah, it was a horse called Never Bow, and he was one of my father's that he had bought at a dispersal sale. It was El Keen Hoy Stable. They were a famous stable years ago, and Harry Guggenheim was the owner. He had passed away, and all his horses were being sold, and my father bought this one, and I think he had just broken his maiden and then had a couple of bad races after that, but he bought him and we sent him to Florida, and he did well. But then the following winter he won the Widener, so he really developed into a nice horse. And then Mr. Dreyfus, All of a sudden, he was up for sale. And Sigmund Sommer, do you remember him years ago? He was Frank Martin's main owner in those days. Horse was up for sale because what they used to call it was a tax year for Mr. Dreyfus. He had to show a profit, else all his racing deductions would be disallowed by the government. So he had to show the only way that he would be able to show a profit is if he made a good sale. So he sold Never Bow privately to Sigmund Sommer. And the weird thing was, is the first race, we kept him in our barn. My father trained him right up to the race even our groom even ran the horse. I mean, this is how unbelievable it was. You would never see that in a million years. He shipped from our barn over the aqueduct. Our groom, the guy that had rubbed him the whole time, still ran him. The only different thing was he ran in Sigmund Sommer's colors instead of ours, and he went over there and he won. It was the most unbelievable thing. Something just wasn't right about it. I'll never forget crying like a baby after the race because I thought it was just so unfair. But
right.
It was just one of those things. It was all agreed upon how it was going to work, how it was going to be. And, you know, I remember Frank, everybody called him Poncho. I remember how gracious he was when he was interviewed on the TV. You know, he gave my father all the credit for the win. And but it was strange. You never... Yeah. Matter of fact, I think I remember my father had a filly called Dose of Dose that sold to P.G. Johnson, and we did the same thing. I remember running her. We ran her, and she ran in the other owner, T.P. Whitney's colors. That happened again. So I don't know. It was just a thing. I don't know how it came to be, but I guess it was agreed upon between my father and Poncho and my father and P.G. So, you know, they were friends, and
right.
they did things like that back then, you know.
Well, it's a nice story, and it's the kindness,
yeah.
The kindness of your father to help out your cause. His grandfather, he wanted it to be retold because it was, even though it's a long time ago, it wasn't forgotten. That, you know, there was a gentlemanly way of doing things back
yeah,
then.
I think it was like 1971, I believe. Yeah.
Well, there's still room for gentlemen in the game at times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jimmy, this is great. I'm so happy that you came on with us. I thank you so much for your time, and it's so exciting to see, you know, your horses just continue to thrive and you know, unified for Centennial. We hope he gets avenges of that short defeat he had last time, and Shaman Ghost. We hope he continues on, and we look forward to Holy Helena up in the Alabama if that works out.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's a lot of nerve wracking that goes with it, but I'll take it.
Yeah, beat the alternative. That's right. That's right. Well, thanks again, Jimmy, so much. I thank you so much. And, you know, please, we'll hope you can call to congratulate you next week.
Okay. My pleasure.
Thank you. Jimmy Jerkins, everyone.
Take care.